to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to do an open prayer for us this morning?
Any volunteers?
Sheriff, would you like to volunteer?
I'll be glad to, Judge.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this beautiful day that we have this morning. We ask your continued blessings upon this county throughout this new year. We ask that you be with this court to make decisions for the county. We ask that the things that they say and do would be pleasing to you. Again, we ask your protection upon our men and women in the military. Watch over them, be thy will, bring them home safe. Most of all, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just join me in our United States and Texas flag pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, we have a presentation by the Texas Police Chiefs Association. Morning, Chief.
Morning, Commissioners and Judge.
Morning.
My name is John Chancellor. For those of you who don't know who I am, I've been around for about 30 years in this county, and I have to say that you guys have to do something to your program here. I noticed that the county, working for the county, has an aging process here that folks I see that look like they're a little bit older than they were a few years ago.
Happens every year.
I'm honored here to be representing the Texas Police Chiefs Association. I'm the immediate past president of that association. It's made up of over 1,100 law enforcement professionals across the state of Texas. And I'm here this morning to present Precinct 3 Constable's Office a certificate of recognition for achieving compliance with Texas law enforcement best practices. The best practices program is an accreditation program that entails 166 challenging standards for Texas law enforcement. The standards address the full range of law enforcement operations such as use of force, protection of citizen rights, vehicle pursuits, officer training, arrest, search and seizure, patrol and investigation operations, and property and evidence management. Approximately 2 years ago, the Constable's Office took on the tedious process of being accredited through the Texas Police Chiefs Association. And through that two-year process, they've proven that they have complied with all the standards. And back in December of last year, a group of outside assessors from that made up of police chiefs from across the state came in and assessed their department and wrote a report and sent it back to the recognition committee. And I'm glad to tell you that they passed with unanimous decision. There's over 2,400 law enforcement agencies in the state of Texas, but only 120 achieved the recognized status. This morning, we officially recognize the Montgomery County Constable's Office Precinct 3 as the 119th recognized agency, and I was told that I had to make sure that you guys knew this morning. A number of their people that work for the Constable said, make sure and tell them that we were the first. So I'm letting you know that the Constable's Office Montgomery County Precinct 3 was the first Constable's Office in the state of Texas to be recognized by this program.
Wow.
Do you want to come up?
Yes, please.
I'll let you read it.
Yes. The Texas Police Chiefs Association Foundation Incorporated, to all that see this certificate, know that the Montgomery County Constable's Office Precinct 3, having fulfilled the necessary qualifications and mandatory requirements of the Texas Police Chiefs Association's Texas Law Enforcement Best Practices Recognition Program by voluntarily proving their compliance with the Texas Law Enforcement Best Practices, the Texas Police Chiefs Association Foundation Board of Directors does hereby award this certification of recognition, effective second day of December 2015 through 2019. So, something... I won't take much time. I just wanted to say that about 3 years ago when I had an opportunity to take office, my chief and I sat down and wanted to come up with a program to meet the standards of professionalism in law enforcement across the state of Texas. So we searched through accreditation, recognition, different programs, and this was the one that we found that best suited us to meet the best practices in law enforcement across the state. So we had to actually petition the Texas Police Chiefs Association to allow us the opportunity to participate in the program, something that they gave us an opportunity to do so. They believed in us, and we did it. We are the first constable's office to do it, something else that we're very proud of. Took us 2 years to meet their requirements. They came in, looked at the department through a microscope. They interview your people. They go out and ride with your personnel. So they meet all aspects of your law enforcement. So I'd like to thank the TPCA and John for being here today to do this for us and with us. I want to thank the department for their hard work in achieving the recognition. So thank you all very much. And specifically, Chief Rodrigue, Jerry Hindenburg, Corporal Ken Welch, Felicity Davis, and Captain Drummond, thank you all for all your hard work with the organization of our proofs, the research, everything that goes into it. You all did this, and so thank you all very much. Thank you, Commissioners and Judge, for the opportunity to present this. Yes, sir.
Constable, this is just more proof that you are absolutely the right man for the job, and that you and your department have set the standard for law enforcement in Montgomery County, and it looks like for the constable's office for all of the state. And we are extremely proud of you and all that you do, and just congratulations to the men and women that serve you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You're very welcome.
Constable Will. Be very proud of your department and the job that you've done, and we want to thank you certainly through this recognition. But we also want to recognize all the police officers that are here in Montgomery County today. I know that there's been some attacks on some officers around, but I think you'll find that this community and certainly this court stands behind our law enforcement officers, and we appreciate the job that all of you do. So thank you.
You guys have proven that to me, and we thank you all for that. And
congratulations.
Have a great morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Under the County Clerk, Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our consent agenda unless there's an item that any of you would like to remove.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I skipped one here. We need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court minutes from session dated December 22nd, 2015.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Moving to item number 10 under citizens. If there are any citizens that would like to address any of the items that are on Commissioners' Court, the Commissioners' Court agenda today, now will be the time to do that. I have two people that have signed up. Let me make a brief comment here. We will now invite public comment. Please state your name and the topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County may be referred to the department head or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. I have two citizens signed up. First is Mr. Bass. You're signed up to speak, but we do have a public hearing on the item that you wanted to address. You're welcome to speak at this time or during that public hearing, whichever you choose. Okay.
My name is Mike Bass. I'm a resident of the Woodlands. I'm here to speak on agenda item 22B3, which has to do with the no parking, no standing, no stopping signs along the Derrick and school. And this has been a problem for a very long time. It's not the only problem we have with car lines and car parent parking around the CISD area, especially in the Woodlands. But in this particular case, it's been a problem for some time, and it actually culminated last week and a 10-year-old boy being struck as he entered the street, and the view was blocked by a car that wasn't supposed to be parked there. And so these signs have been in existence for a long time, but there's a technicality with them which has interfered with the willingness of the school police to enforce it. So I think this, thanks to Commissioner Nowak, this solves that problem, and maybe now we can get some action on stopping the no parking by various people during these hours. So I just want to speak in favor of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bass. Appreciate that. The other individual that was signed up to speak is Mr. Rigby Owen, Jr.
Mr. Owen, did Rigby leave?
I think so. We've met with him. I think any questions you might
have. Okay. That's the only two I've signed up. Is there anyone that would like to address the court on an item that's on this agenda currently that did not sign up to speak? Okay, moving forward then to item number 11A. Under County Judge, consider and reappoint Gil Staley to the board of the Houston-Galveston Area Council Gulf Coast Workforce Board with a term expiring December 31st, 2017. Entertain a motion.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item B, consider and reappoint Gil Staley as the county's representative to the HGAC Gulf Coast Economic Development District Advisory Committee with a term expiring May of 2017.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Item C, consider and approve and appoint the following individuals to the Montgomery County Historical Commission: Missy Ringo, Robin Barthelette, Jodell Higgins Whitehead, and J.T. Wilkerson.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Amy, did...
TJ.
Oh, TJ. Let's exit. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Consider and approve proposal to utilize the county engineer's office to track progress on the county road bond projects and provide regular updates for the public on the county website.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Commissioners, this is an idea that Jim Fredericks had. I think is a good one, that if each commissioner will appoint someone to submit those projects to the county engineer's office, so there's one place that someone that wants to know what's going on with road bond projects can go to. They can get all that information at one spot instead of having to call each individual precinct. I think it's a great idea. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Consider and approve a tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County, Texas and New Park Drilling Fluids, LLC.
We're going to defer that, Judge.
Okay. Defer item E. Item F. Consider and approve and amend and a restated order authorizing the issuance of Montgomery County, Texas Limited Tax Refund Bonds, Series 2016, delegating authority to approve final pricing terms of the bonds and to execute final agreements, authorizing the preparation and distribution of an official statement and matters incident thereto. Mr. Roebuck.
Thank you, Judge. I have a little presentation to pass down.
You got good news for us?
I hope so.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. John Roebuck with BOSC. We decided to come out here again tonight, this morning, to ask for an amended parameter order for the refunding. The new money bond issue, which we're scheduled to sell for $60 million, is still in place. But due to recent market changes, interest rates on bonds have dropped considerably over the last week. I'm sure you have felt that watching the stock market. It's been a flight to quality as investors have removed their money from the stock market and moved to the bond market. If you'll turn to page one, I'll briefly go over the bond market. The blue line there on this chart is the bond buyer index for general obligation bonds, and that's what we're issuing. We're issuing general obligation, limited tax, refunding bonds, and also road bonds. The rate is now at 3.45. That is about 20 basis points below where it was when we came out here a couple weeks ago to get you to approve the last parameter. And to put it in perspective, we're only 18 basis points, or 0.18%, above all-time historical lows. So we're a great environment to sell bonds and take some savings for the county. Turn page two. These are the bonds that we've presented to you on the 22nd to approve the parameter order. We were looking to refund approximately $10.3 million to save approximately $1.1 million in savings. If you'll go to the next page, this is what we're asking you to approve today. We have the opportunity to refund $65 million in bonds and generate a little over $9 million in savings for the county. These are a little conservative numbers. These were run early in the week or late last week. We ran scales last night based on current market, and we're closer to about $9.5 million. I think we'll be a little better than that. And actually, I've invited Craig Brost, your head underwriter, lead underwriter here, to kind of give you some commentary on the market. I will point out, though, if you all decide to approve this, we're going to enter the market as soon as you say yes. And Craig will go through that.
Yeah, I visited with my desk this morning. We're prepared. They're on standby, ready to go. Just to give you a little flavor, out in 5 years, the scale that we're going to, we've already got pre-sale, we put it out yesterday, has a yield in 5 years of 128, in 10 years of 205, and out in the long end on 2037, a 280, and in 41, a 327. So they're waiting for me. You guys approve it, and I'll make one phone call. We'll be in the market around 10:15 today, hopefully, and for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
It's a great market. Great market.
And that savings includes the issuing cost and any extended payments we have on those bonds.
It's net, yes.
Net. Great.
Good.
And then page four of the presentation details how the savings would shake out based on the preliminary numbers. We think we'll come in, like I said, we think we'll come in better than that, but that's just kind of give you an idea where the savings will hit each year. And then if you all approve this, we'll go out and sell them today and then close on the 26th of January, have a quick close, and get you some money to start with some of those road projects.
Good move.
Second.
All in favor?
Hi.
Good job.
Thank y'all. Great work.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the good work there. That's great. Thank you.
At least there's a silver lining to the market's decline.
Bad news parents.
All right. Good deal. Item 12, emergency management.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. How are you?
We would ask the court to consider and approve the 2016 UASI grant application request as per the attached Montgomery County grant request form. The requested amount is $2,859,788.44, and there is no county match required.
Question or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Miranda and Curtis are doing a active shooter training class for some of the departments. I would encourage each department to get involved in that. Contact Curtis at Risk Management or Miranda. It's a very good, very informative class. So thank you for that, too, Miranda. Item 13, Sheriff.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
13A, ask you to consider and accept the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force Agreement between Homeland Security and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. The $15,000 agreement is for FY 2016, and associated benefits will be funded from the Sheriff's Budget 5601.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Item 14, Constable Precinct 1.
I'll take that, Judge. Consider approved purchase of a narcotic detection dog, funding to be through department's current budget. I think Constable Chumley has lost two dogs not too long ago, and they're getting a new dog, and I'm not sure how the per diem works. They've dropped two of their per diems off, but I don't think it stays in their budget. I think it goes back. So we need to add that per diem. What is it, $100 a month, something like that?
For the handler.
Right, so there's a stipend.
Do we have anybody here?
There's a stipend that the county pays to handlers of dogs that are property of the county.
Okay.
And we did take that money out, but with y'all's authority, we would put that back in.
Okay, yes, that sir. Needs to be added back to their budget also. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Item 15, Constable Precinct 2.
Morning, Judge and Commissioner. We're requesting the additional one deputy that is going to be funded by Commissioner Riley, 50% of it, and Commissioner Miller, the other 50% of it. I have a vehicle on there, but I want to defer the vehicle for right now.
I move. I second, with the exception of the car, we don't have that kind of money. But, and I don't know if, has the money already been transferred over to you guys?
Have we done it yet?
Okay, we'll make sure that happens pretty quickly. Got a motion, a second?
A motion, a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Chris, what do we need to do? You're looking like we...
So now that y'all have approved it, we would move the funding from y'all's budgets. We'll get with you to find out where in your budget to get it over to Constable Precinct 2. We'll establish the position, and my understanding is they don't need a vehicle at this time.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank
very
you.
Much appreciated.
Thank you, Constable. District Attorney, Mr. Grant.
Morning, gentlemen. I think y'all recall sometime in mid-December we came to you because we had a long-term employee paralegal that was retiring. We asked you to create a position for us to allow us to move to some of the same position for a couple of weeks. It had an unintended consequence, and I guess we're here to ask you to fix our error. We hired an employee in December to fill that position by the name of Lindsay Speakman. Because that position was closed after the person retired, she's been considered a temporary employee and would not get paid for Christmas or Christmas Eve during the month of December. She would also not get credit for her time that she's been in the county as an employee until January 1st when that position, she transferred into a permanent position. We're willing to fund the cost of that change, but we're asking y'all, out of our asset forfeiture account, we're asking y'all to undo our unintended classification of that employee that's employee so that she can, you know, start the clock for medical insurance. She can start the clock for seniority here at the county if at all possible.
Amy, is there any issue with that?
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know that we've ever done it retroactively like that.
At the very
I don't
least,
recall.
If you can't do that, you can approve us to expend asset forfeiture money to
compensate
her salary. So we just need your approval to do that.
Let's do that.
But obviously, if at all possible, we think it's kind of unfair.
Well, I don't think we need to set that precedent.
A permanent employee, and so do we.
Is there any issue with that, Amy?
I need to go back and look at actually how it was done and how it was approved.
I don't think we need to set a precedence like that going retroactive. If they've got forfeiture money that you can use, I think that's the way they handle it. And then January 1st, that's when she went
employment.
Permanent, right?
She did go permanent January 1st.
Yeah, that's...
There's a constitutional ban against retroactive pay for employees or changing, and so we get into some...
Well, I mean, this could...
Issues.
We could have somebody, well, I hired somebody temporary 6 months ago. Well, I want to make them permanent and pay them. I don't agree with that.
Which is the reason for...
Okay. So you want to defer this or what?
You think there may be a constitutional question about it?
I think there's a constitutional prohibition against retroactive pay to an employee.
Okay.
And so trying to go back and play it. Now, if it's to truly fix an error, that's one thing. But I would need to look at... I haven't seen all how she was hired, what was promised, what was approved, those documentations. But if it was simply she was hired in as a temporary employee, we paid her as a temporary, and now we want to treat her as a county employee full-time, then I don't think we can do that.
I don't either.
Mr. Grant, as I understand it, this is to correct an error that was made, correct?
My understanding, and we certainly intended to hire a permanent employee. She was told she was going to be a permanent employee. We expected that, so we believe it is to fix an error.
But
we're happy to bear the burden of the cost of that error.
Can you give the court 2 weeks so we can defer this now, have Amy, the county attorney's office, look into it? And I agree. If it's an error that was made, I think we need to make it right. If we hired somebody and told them they're going to be a full-time employee, they need to be.
Was it brought to court?
It had to go through court.
I remember talking about it.
Yeah. I just haven't
was it brought to court as a temporary employee?
Back in December, y'all did approve it, and we believe that what was requested was a temporary position, but maybe what was meant was a second position for them to overlap so it could provide for the training. Definitely they wanted the training opportunity from someone who was retiring to transfer that knowledge.
Well, the tape or the...
I do remember.
I have not listened to the tape.
She fully intended to be here after the original employee retired.
And there should be a PCR which should indicate what was actually found.
Okay.
Why don't you check the constitutional concerns, and then let's look at it in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Two more weeks, I'll leave.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Thank you. All right, item number 17, Conroe North Houston Regional Airport.
What's that?
Morning, Scott.
Item 17A, consider and if appropriate, approve the carryover of the remaining fiscal year 2015 funds in 6291-7501, construction of the fire marshal slash aircraft rescue firefighting building, to 6291-7501 fiscal year 2016 budget. So just a few things that still need to be paid for to finish up that building, and requesting that the funds that you had approved earlier be carried forward.
What was the balance of that?
$6,020.88.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. One thing. Well, all in favor? Aye. So that's Port Noe, and I don't know if you guys know how important this process was to the airport to get firefighting equipment and a facility there. It's huge. We've got people calling now. Black Forest came down, took pictures of it. They're putting it on their website. We have fire protection, and it's been used. How many times already?
Well, twice. Had two call-outs.
Yeah,
so far.
In the first week, I think, that it was opened. So
wow.
It's going to be a great asset to our airport. And good job, Scott.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Item 18A, County Auditor.
On December 17th, the IRS issued an announcement that they would be lowering the mileage reimbursement rate to 54 cents. The county's policy was currently 56 cents, so we would like to lower that to match the IRS rate.
Move.
Second. And Phyllis, can you bring back a policy where we can just continually follow the IRS guidelines without having to bring it through court?
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item B.
The next item is a request to approve payment to the Joint Commission for accreditation out at the mental health treatment facility.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item 19, elections. Ms. Harvey. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm asking you to consider and approve an order to change the Election Day polling location in Voting Precinct 61. The current polling place is no longer available for us to use.
Where's it going to be, Susie?
The Mitchell Library.
Where?
The Mitchell Library.
Okay.
Move.
Second.
Ms. Williams, did you have something you wanted to say about that?
Well, it has to do with both A and B.
Well, go ahead.
Susie and I have talked, and we certainly want to be good partners with the voting in the precinct. However, I calculated based upon the next part, the early voting and vote and election day activities, that there would be 44 and a half hours of overtime that staff would be necessitated to be in the building to supervise, to unlock, and there's no overtime in the library budget. The corollary to that is for 31 days, the staff would not be able to have programming in their meeting room. We've rescheduled some things. We've tried to scrunch up some things. If this passes, I'll certainly work with Susie. We've already talked about the impact. But the voting happens to come at major holidays when we would normally have a Valentine program, a Mother's Day program, an Easter program, and definitely Halloween, which is a big activity with a parade through the entire library. So I just want to appeal to you that even if we did this for an immediate 60 days, I think that there has to be a precedent, but that I would appeal to you to look for an alternate site for further on in the year because of the great impact that it has, and might have to come back to do something about some overtime pay because we do have to have a supervisor in the building to unlock the building about half hour before they come in at 7 in the morning. We're not open by your decree on Sundays. and yet there's early voting on Sundays, and we'd need to have someone there during that five-hour period, plus opening and closing. Later on Saturday, because we don't open until 9 and to the public, and we close at 5, and voting is from 7 to 7 on Saturday. So there's some implication. Again, we want to be good partners, and we have a lovely facility, and as Susie shared with me, there is always positive response because the staff does try to make the voters feel welcome, and we welcome them into the building. We just wanted to share that.
Is there any way we could kind of authorize some of the election judges to take the position of that employee in that building? Those are pretty credible people. I wouldn't have a real concern with that.
There's a security code that you have to have if you want to start giving out that security code through the community, and I'd prefer not to do
so. I think we could have building maintenance come up with a temporary code. We've done that in the past where, you know, you have a code and that's only good during that election period. And since Precinct 61 is right in the middle of Precinct 3, I certainly understand where you're coming from. And we were kind of shocked at the last minute to learn that one of our polling locations was not going to be available. And we were very happy to partner with the library to take this, use this as an early voting location. And it's not uncommon. Our community center, and I think every commissioner's community center, we have to suspend activities that the public normally has there for voting. And I, my opinion is I can't think of anything better for our county buildings to be used for than to exercise your constitutional right to vote. So I'm going to move that we move forward with both A and B.
Second.
Other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Item 20.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Happy New Year. As you are aware, the recent Attorney General opinion that came out regarding open carry and its implications for the courthouse brought forward a process whereby the responsible authority, which is Commissioner's Court, the county, meet with the government court or government courts to find a way of figuring out which buildings, which spaces, which offices are essential to court operations. At the Board of Judges meeting on Friday, the board passed a resolution that lists out the buildings and the functions within those buildings that are essential to court operations. They include the old courthouse at 301 North Main, the county court's annex at 210 West Davis, above the first floor. So the first floor is not essential to court operations, but everything above it, second, third, and fourth floor is. The entirety of the Lee Allworth building, which is 207 West Phillips, and the entirety of the James Keesham building, which is 301 North Thompson. The importance of making these areas exempt from that law is not just a matter of the security of the judges, but the security of judicial independence. They need to be able to make those decisions without influence from whether it's a person carrying in the courthouse or some other means, but they do need to have the ability to make those tough decisions without in a secure environment. And so I'm bringing that to you today, signed by the board. If I can hand it over here to the county clerk.
And it's asking that you consider and accept that resolution.
We have a motion, commissioners.
I move.
Any questions or comments? So that would allow just removing that security station right in the atrium building or the annex building back
to the end of that hallway. Moved back.
It's already done.
Yes.
And everything else stays pretty much intact as is.
Correct.
And it provides protection both ways. So.
Yes.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Nate. Very much.
Amy, should we readdress county employees' carry policy? Can we do that at this time?
Actually, there's another agenda item.
Okay.
From
okay.
HR.
Okay. Good. 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 All right, item 21. Purchasing, Charlotte.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 21A, take all appropriate action to approve granting an exemption for an item necessary to preserve or protect the public health or safety as authorized by local government code 262.024A2 for the emergency repairs to the lift station located at the Lake Conroe Park on Highway 105 West from Hayes Utility Service in the amount of $69,320.72, plus additional labor charge for installation of temporary equipment for Precinct 1.
We have a motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
B, take all appropriate action to approve the award for a new vehicle from Grapevine Dodge Chrysler Jeep LLC. The quantity of one 2016 1.5-ton truck in the amount of $40,510 for Precinct 4.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. At this time, we need to recess our commissioner's court and convene public hearings in Precincts 1, 3, and 4. Commissioner Metter.
Commissioner, I'll be happy to take that for you if you'd like. I'll be happy to take that for you if you'd like.
Okay. Go ahead.
For Precinct 1, consider and approve a partial replat of lots 9 and 10, Block 1 of Point Aquarius, Section 10, to be known as Point Aquarius, Section 10, partial replat number 1. Purpose of this replat is to combine two lots into one lot. Proper notices have been posted and mailed to surrounding neighbors within 200 feet. We have not had any calls objecting to that. The plat is not eligible for approval yet, as there are still some deficiencies. So the purpose of the hearing, purpose of this is just to receive any comment from the public with regard to the potential replat.
Do we have anyone here this morning that would like to address this item? Hopefully we do, Judge.
Okay. Moving on into Precinct 3.
Consider and approve abandoning a portion of East Bender's Landing Boulevard right-of-way. Anyone here to address that? All right. Number 2, consider and approve abandoning a portion of Lake Robbins Drive, formerly known as Woodlock Forest Drive, right-of-way. Anyone here to address? Number 3, consider and approve placement of no parking, no stopping, no standing, Monday through Friday, 7:15 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., 2:45 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. signs on both sides of the following streets: Merritt Oaks Drive, North Blanchard Circle to South Blanchard Circle, Montfair Park Circle, Merritt Oaks Drive to Merritt Oaks Drive, North Blanchard Circle, Merritt Oaks Drive to Montfair Boulevard, South Blanchard Circle, Montfair Boulevard to Merritt Oaks Drive, and Montfair Boulevard to Montfair Parks, Montfair Park Circle to Powers Bend Way. And I know we have some people here. Would you like to address the court?
Hi, I'm Hannah Willems. I'm a not quite 3-year resident of the Woodlands and Commissioner Nowak's precinct. This neighborhood at issue, our subdivision is called Montfair. I have 3 children that attend Derrickton Elementary. And currently these signs are in place, not exactly in the locations Commissioner Nowak described. However, last Thursday, my son, 10-year-old boy, a few moments after dismissal from Derrickton Elementary, was severely injured in a vehicle accident on his bike. We feel that these signs are just one piece of the puzzle in decreasing traffic, the signs that are actually already there, and that once they are enforced, will decrease significantly traffic through the area and prevent another incident that happened last Thursday. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming and sharing your story with us. And I will make certain that both we already have the Sheriff's Department and Constable Precinct 3 saying that they are going to be enforcing this, and our office is contacting CISD to make sure that they know that these are now properly noticed through court and that they should be, law enforcement should be enforcing them.
Thank you. Great. All right, Precinct 4.
Are you going to do that?
I'll be happy to do that, Commissioner. Consider and approve partial replat of lots 50 and 51, excuse me, and a portion of Concord Drive of Dogwood Forest Section 1 to be known as Dogwood Forest Partial Replat Number 1 adjoining Harper's Reserve. And this is a replat of a subdivision lot to realign a private drive and adjust the lot sizes. The developer of the adjoining subdivision purchased lots 50 and 51, and the roadway in front of these lots is not part of the county road maintenance system. The roadway can, as a result, be replatted without abandonment, but still requires the public notice, and this is because it affects a roadway, a public roadway. The replat calls for the roadway to be private. The owner adjacent to the roadway has access to property from Sky Ridge Drive, and there also remains access to the very northwest corner of the property from Concord. Notices were properly posted on the website, plus I think there were 85 mailings sent out via certified mail. We've received either 3 telephone calls and 1 visit from people in Dogwood Forest. After reviewing the plat and the purpose, we've received no objections from that. There's all, the plat is not up for approval yet because there's still some deficiencies. This is, again, the public hearing for the notice for the replat.
Is there anyone here to discuss that?
Well, my name is Gail Moses. I'm a resident of Dogwood Forest. I'm also one of the on the board for the Homeowners Association. Although we cannot object to their using that property the same way, we are concerned that they're not doing all they can to alleviate the flooding that could possibly happen to Concord, and the damage to Concord, the Concord Drive, with all their construction equipment that's been going on. I know Precinct 4 has been on the ball trying to make sure that the cracks don't get any bigger, but we're concerned about the flooding issue. I gather that there's no one here from 242 to discuss any of this with us, and we haven't brought it up to them. But I do want y'all to know that there is that possibility. The water from that area that they're doing work on right now is swamp. It's flooding. It's flooded. The golf course guy that cleared some of that property that they bought, that 242 bought, had problems all the time with flooding. If they do not process and work the drainage properly, when because all of the water flows north, the roads will flood again at the corner of Sky Ridge and Concord. We had flooding up to my driveway. My house is on 44. My second lot is 45. In 1994, the water came up to my second driveway on lot number 45. The water covered the road there. Now, in 79, of course, it covered the road, but not that far. The water drains through our ditches and to Carter Slough, which then drains farther. The serious problem with that is now we're out of the floodplain, which was great news to a lot of people. But that will allow somebody that comes in and buys the property on the slough to cover that slough, which will then not allow our water to drain through the ditches. If this company does not work their drainage right, we will flood. The roads will flood. Now I realize that it's my problem, If they put water on me, I've already talked to the engineers and they told me it's my problem if whatever they do brings water to my house. My property now is wetter now than it's ever been. But we've had so much rain that I can't say that that's not one of the reasons why. My second lot is squishes, and it's never done that before. It's held water before, but it's not like this. So I want to make sure, as I said, we cannot, what they're going to do, as long as they don't build a house on what's left of 50 and 51, that's okay. The deed restrictions will allow them to do that. We've got no problem with that. But I want to put everybody on notice that there is going to be an issue if they don't get the drainage right there. We're real concerned. We are also concerned about the traffic. The traffic is horrible now. Concord Drive does not have a light. Lexington has a light. Huntington, the trailer park that's down the road on Huntington, they could easily go out, but they don't. They come around Sky Ridge, they come out Concord. They've always done that. So we have all their traffic. Now we're going to have all of 242's traffic. We've got a barely two-lane road, ditches on both sides, and it's kind of unimproved. It had a good topping on it. Commissioner Reinhart put some blacktop on it, but underneath it is a iron ore.
It sounds like Commissioner Clark, your staff and crew is aware of what the issues are and can stay on top of that for Ms. Moses.
Yes.
I would encourage you to be in touch with Commissioner Clark after court.
Absolutely.
I've talked to Mr. Smith about some of this stuff, and he's assured us that we're on the ball, but the more the people know about it, the better.
Great.
I appreciate you coming today.
Thank you.
Be in touch with you. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Next public hearing is for consider and approve partial replat of Lot 6, Block 2 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 2, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 2, partial replat number 1. This is a replat to subdivide a tract in Peach Creek Plantation. So far, we haven't had any objections. We did post notice online in excess of the amount required, mailed notice to fronting owners within 200 feet. We have not received, as of this, to my knowledge, as of this morning, any objections or inquiries with regard to this. We have not received a letter of no objection from the HOA on this one. And the plat is also not eligible if there are deficiencies. So this is, again, the public hearing to hear comments on the plat. The plat's not up for approval yet.
Is there anyone here to discuss that?
Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn our public hearing, reconvene our commissioner's court, and take action on those items that are actionable today.
I move on 22 A, B, and C.
Second, we're just report items. So, BD, which ones were just for public hearing and not for action today?
All of the replats were just for public hearing.
Okay.
I believe it would be the precinct, the
precinct 3.
Precinct 3 item would be available. The Precinct 3 items, I believe, would be available for action.
All three of those?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay.
So I move on Precinct 3 items.
I move on Precinct 1.
Second on both.
Second.
You might as well move on forward, and we'll second all of them. We'll just move on.
Right.
Is Precinct 1 ready, Commission? Is it ready to go?
The plat's not ready for approval.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You've had the public hearing on that, so that will satisfy the results. When the plat is
complete.
It will be on the agenda, consent agenda, most likely for approval then. So you don't need to move for approval on
okay.
Those
then,
public hearings.
So just 22B, items 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Hey, before we go any further, Judge,
that's difficult.
I'd like to brag a little on BD. As you know, our League Line project, we had to meet with Girl Scouts. We had 8 acres, I think, John, that we needed from them for League Line. And we went through a process, condemnation, The special commissioners gave a number. Their remedy for it, if they don't like it, is to appeal it to a higher court, which Girl Scouts did. The district judge requested mediation Friday. BD and Mike Beichler from my office went down and went through that. What was an 8-hour mediation?
Wow.
Yes. Basically, we
had to get in about 4:30. Yeah. Friday, even 5 o'clock downtown Houston. But they were able to get that number down to a number that will cure the issues that the Girl Scouts had, and it's a number that we found acceptable without going to trial. And thank you for your help, BD.
Good deal.
Great job.
Good job. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 4. Commissioner Clark. Right.
Item 1, consider and approve the following position changes effective January 4th, 2016. Close 615-3102-500, truck driver, and open 615-3201-1, operator 1. Transfer $21,112 salary and benefits from 615-3102-500 to 615-3201-1. Additional funding needed to bring annual salary to $36,088, funded from 615-7340. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Just in short, that was a young man we had used for a part-time deal and turned out to be a really good, going to be a good asset for the county. So.
Good.
Consider to approve replacement of proceeds from November auction into line item number 615-7570 per worksheet on file. I move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Item 24, Doty. Oh, Kathy, you're going to take that one. Ms. Flowers.
Good morning.
Good morning. Item A is consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
And item B.
Aye. Motion carries. Item B.
Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding Montgomery County employee policy for concealed carry of handguns. What this is that with the policy's changing, and the policy allows for employees now to carry concealed handguns if they have a license, except in areas that are prohibited by law. Before, our policy read that it prohibited possessing the firearm at all. And now it's going to say that it prohibits them from openly carrying these firearms.
The policy will state what?
It prohibits them from openly carrying a firearm, including a handgun, on county premises unless you are a licensed peace officer, member of law enforcement, judge, or prosecutor. And then down there on the bottom, it'll say, it says certain areas that they talk about. And it says, number one, on the premises of any government court or offices utilized by court. Number two, on the premises of a polling area on the day of an election or while early voting is in progress. Or three, in the room or rooms where a meeting of a governmental entity is held, and if the meeting is an open meeting subject to Chapter 551 of the Government Code.
Those are state prohibitions anyway that they can't carry.
Sorry.
Are those state prohibitions anyway that they cannot carry in those locations?
But basically, what we're doing is telling our employees you can't carry openly.
Openly.
Yeah. That's okay.
We've
already done that.
And we've already done that before. But the way the concealed is drafted, it said or as otherwise authorized by law. When they allowed to carry openly, we had to go back and say no.
Okay.
If so, it's fine. We would like employees to be able to carry openly.
And
that's what this policy is.
Well, we don't want
prevent
them
that.
Carrying openly.
Concealed.
Yeah,
that's
good. Okay. I move.
What about this courtroom? What can you do inside this courtroom? And who can do what?
In this courtroom, this is an open meeting, subject to open meeting facts. And so you should not be carrying a firearm in this unless you are authorized, a law enforcement officer, a prosecutor, someone authorized.
Okay.
But if you have a concealed handgun license, you can go around the metal detector and you can come straight in here with a concealed weapon.
We're going to have to start checking people as they come in this door.
Okay.
So this is in full compliance with the law as it's written. So what about buildings where we, has the county adopted a formal policy yet on open carry for citizens in non-court related buildings?
I don't think we can do a policy that override the law.
The law has said in areas where you are authorized to carry previously a concealed weapon, you can now carry openly.
So my my concern is I wanted to tie these two together is why will, if we are going to allow the public to open carry into a commissioner's office, for example, why, what's the harm in allowing the employee to open carry? I mean, I see a major...
The court could so choose to allow employees to do that. There is specific statutory language which says it is up to the governing body. If you so chose to say that employees could open carry, you could do that. This policy that HR is recommending is in keeping what we've always done, which is allowed employees to conceal carry.
I'm just saying, I just don't... No, I mean, if we're going to have the general public open carrying in non-court buildings, I'm not sure what the harm is if an employee does so.
Well, I disagree. I don't want our employees carrying a gun on their hip. If they're concealed, they're concealed. But I don't think they have any business carrying a weapon openly.
I haven't seen anybody carrying a weapon out in the public yet. And
it's
what
a
I
policy
think,
I think that's a good thing.
Well, I think
agree with Commissioner
and I support it.
We need to allow our employees to be able to protect themselves, active shooter situation, stuff like that. But I mean, you send one of our guys out, and he's open carry. It might provoke a situation. It might escalate a situation. It might go somewhere. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea.
It's an appearance issue. These buildings belong to the public, and there are those that don't support the open carry issue. So I'd hate to see a lady come in with her child and see people with pistols on their hips in our county buildings. It just doesn't.
I don't want this to be confused with me promoting open carry necessarily. My personal opinion there is irrelevant. It's just the fact that the legislature has put this before the voters. It's passed. Open carry is illegal. If we're going to extend that, I mean,
the legislature also gave public, it specifically said public or private entities the ability to set policies for their employees. So they differentiated between the public coming in and the employees, giving you the discretion to decide how.
Still protects their Second Amendment right to carry. No, and would never want to infringe on that. But I think the appearance of open carry for county employees is not one that we want to portray.
Right.
I'll just respectfully disagree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
So, I move that this policy be approved, that we do not have open carry by employees.
This building, Commissioner, goes back to your question. If someone were to walk into that front door with a pistol, open carry, and they have a license, they can walk anywhere in this building except this courtroom or my office that's a court-related office.
No, I'm just saying if the general public can come into my office with a gun on their hip, I'm not going to restrict my employees from doing that.
Well, you will if the court approves a policy.
Yeah. And we have a motion and a second to that.
I move.
Other questions or comments?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank
you. One opposed.
One opposed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Flowers. All right. This time we need to recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551074.
Gavel.
Let's bring the court back to order. We've got three action items out of executive session. Number one, we need a resolution in order to defend cause number 15-11-12217.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And we need a resolution in order to settle cause number 14-10-11707. In the amount of $750,000.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next item is item C. I'd entertain a motion to direct Commissioner Clark to take whatever action is necessary to settle concerns at the animal shelter.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Now we have time for citizens to make comments that on items that were not on today's court agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address the court today? Okay. Any other items, commissioners, anybody wants to address?
Motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.